for all he does. First of all, I want to thank Brother Eddie, our pastor, for giving me this opportunity to speak to you today. I want to thank the Board of Elders for also allowing me this opportunity. And before we actually go into the message, I just want to pray a quick blessing over the message today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, this is your message. This is your congregation. I'm just a frail human who is out, Lord, to do your will. So I pray that you will do a wonderful work, that your word will do as it will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you a very familiar story, but I don't want you to let that fool you. Don't tune out. Even though you've heard this story many times, most likely, it's probably not going to be the same way that you've heard it before. So what I need to do is, first of all, is to give you a little bit of context. Context is the story behind the story. It's basically answering the question, why? So when you give context for the story that I'm about to tell you, we actually have to travel back in time. We're going to start with Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. Title of the message is called Desperate. You'll see why in a moment. So to Leviticus 15, verse 25. So this is basically when you ever hear the word the law, okay, in the Jewish culture, the law basically encompassed quite a bit. First of all, you had what was called the moral law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. These are in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the moral law that will stand for all time and for eternity. We have to abide by those Ten Commandments. But then there are other laws or other commandments that are put in all together, lumped in with the word law, and these are referred to as what's called purity laws. Okay, there's certain foods you can't eat that we don't follow today. But for this story, you have to understand the background commandment. So Leviticus 15:25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, as best as I can put it, this would be that monthly affliction that women go through after they reach a certain age, the time of her separation. So if she has an issue of blood many days after that, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. And here's the key word I want you to pick up on. She shall be unclean. Next verse. And every bed whereon she lies all the days of her issue shall be to her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sits upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. I know it's difficult to follow, but just keep it up. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, key word there, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water. And get this. So whoever touches this lady will be unclean until the evening. Interesting. And they got to bathe and wash their clothes. So now that you have a little bit of context, let's jump forward in time, in the time of Jesus. And we're going to start from Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, that's what we just talked about, 12 years. I can't imagine, folks, 12 years. Verse 26, and had suffered many things, and get this, of many physicians. How many of you have gone to multiple physicians for the same condition? I know I have. For the same condition, I've gone to many. In fact, I'll tell you what, very quickly, when I had a gallbladder, non-functioning gallbladder problem, I went to the emergency room and they told me I had the virus. Well, that made sense because a lot of other people had the virus. Went back to the emergency room the next night because the pain was so bad. The doctor said I was lactose intolerant. Turned out I had a non-functioning gallbladder. Had to come out. I had to wait an extra week just to get that out. That's what I mean. You go to the physician for the same thing and you get diagnosed differently. So she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. There was a lot of people, and she touched his garment. Next verse. For she said, I don't know if she said it out loud or said it to herself, but she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about this poor lady. The first thing I like to do when I read stories in the Bible is I like to put myself in that situation. How would life have been if I was in that same situation? Granted, I know this is a lady, I'm a guy, but you can think about these things. The thing about the Bible doesn't tell us everything that happened, but we can deduce a little bit of what we know, and then some we can speculate that might be likely to happen. But because the Bible is silent, I won't preach it as if that's gospel. I'm just going to give you what might be possible. But think about it. This woman, I don't know, how old was she? Probably at least 25. You know, if it had been going on for 12 years. Or when did it start? It may have started later in life. Maybe she had been married. Maybe she had kids. But then all of a sudden she has this plague. Now we don't know what caused it. We don't know at the time why she was doing this. But the thing is, she was considered unclean the entire time. Now I don't know if you've come across people that you don't want to associate with. You know, we refer to them as the bad apple. Don't let your kids around them. They're the bad apple. I don't want to be influenced by them. Well, this poor lady was unclean, and the whole community knew about it. Things like this, I don't think you could really keep secret. But she spent everything she had. She had no money. And she also probably didn't have a husband. Who would not want to stay with a woman who was unclean for 12 years? He probably divorced her, if she was even married. Because everything she touched, everything she sat on, everything she laid on, it was unclean. And if she touched anybody, you'd have to take a bath, wash your clothes, and couldn't even go to synagogue, to the temple, until the evening. You couldn't. So for her, her life was miserable. She was so miserable because I often wonder, how did she even get food? Do we think about that? We just read that story and we just say, oh, lady had an issue of blood. How did she get food? If I took a basket and was unclean and handed it to you, everything I touched was unclean. Now you're unclean just by giving you a basket. So I wonder, did people bring her food? How was she able to pay for it? See, her quality of her life was such that she was an outcast. I mean, what else could she be? Now, in the Old Testament, it was not a sin for this to happen, but yet at the same time, because of the purity commandment, she was unclean. It was almost very similar to being a leper. And I don't know, when I look at some of the young guys in here who have full beards, I just have a small beard. And in the wintertime, my skin dries out really bad. And when I sit in there, sometimes I'm thinking and I'm doing this, scratching my beard, Next thing I know, I look down. Gosh, I got flakes and things all down here. I want to yell out, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. No, what I do, I try to go like this real quick before anybody notices. But the thing is, if you hadn't experienced it yet, guys, you will. Trust me. It's worse in the wintertime. But she was an outcast. She was an outcast. She didn't have, I would dare say, based on that kind of condition, I bet she didn't have any, if many, friends. Who could she turn to? So in order to go out, she had to remain anonymous. How many of you know that you can be in a large crowd like this and feel all alone? I can be in a large crowd like this and be as lonely as all get out. No friends, no place to go, nobody to turn to for help. My life is just in ruins. And this had went on for 12 years. That's a long time, folks. 1 year would be a long time. But for 12 years, she had to remain anonymous. When she went out, my guess is, and I'm only speculating, this is not in the scripture, but my guess is she disguised herself. She would put that scarf over her face so people wouldn't recognize her, so that she could go out. She was out on this particular day. She should not have been out. And she should not especially have been out in a crowd. But she had heard. This is interesting. Scripture says she heard of Jesus. Now, I don't know particularly how to interpret that, whether or not she just heard about him or whether she saw some of the miracles that he did. But she heard of Jesus. And so here she was desperate. She was desperate for something, some healing, some relief in her life. Aren't we all desperate for that? See, the thing we forget, and that's why we sing some of the songs, Jesus is only a breath away. He's waiting with his arms open. I mean, he's there in one of the parables he's talking about. When the son comes home, he runs to the son. He's that eager to be with you, to be a part of your life. But for her, she couldn't even go to temple. She couldn't even go worship the God she loved. And then she heard of Jesus. And I'm hoping for you here today. You hear, not just know about him, you hear of Jesus, his goodness, his greatness. He's the Savior of the world. Yes. But do we hear it? Do we accept it? Do we turn away? You see, this woman, when she heard of Jesus, she walks up behind the press. That's what it says. There was a large, large crowd around Jesus. Of course, he was very popular because he could heal anything. That people have seen him raise the dead, cast out demons. He could do anything. There was nothing too hard for him. And the man named Jairus said, "My daughter is dying." In one of the other gospels, it said she had already died. So I don't know whether he knew it at the time or not. But he asked Jesus, "Just come and lay hands on her. She'll be fine if you do that." And in the other gospel, it said she had died. If he would come and lay hands on her, she'll be raised again. Maybe he's seen it himself, and he believed. He had the faith. But here, all of that commotion was going on, and Jesus was trying his best to get to Jairus' house when she, in the background, saw him, and she said, "You ever have voices speak to you? You know, maybe you want to give your heart to Christ, and a voice starts talking to you, says, 'No, you don't want to be like those people. No, you don't want to give up. You don't want to go to Christ because there's just so much you have to give up.' Really? What have you given up? When it comes to eternity and heaven and all of the stuff, what are you really giving up? Oh, I got to give up this. I got to give up my drinking. I got to give up my smoking. I got to give up this. Look, Jesus wants you to come to him first. He will make you into a new creature. He will change you. The Holy Spirit who comes will change you." The voices inside her head, I'm sure, was conflicting. She's saying, "I'm unclean. I know, But I'm desperate. I got to touch Jesus. I got to touch him. She said, but if you touch him, he'll be unclean. I know, but I'm desperate. I got to touch Jesus. Deronda sings a song, I got to get to Jesus. She knew, I think that was her last hope. She knew she was at the bottom. If you've ever been at the bottom and you don't know which way to look, look up and call on Jesus. If you notice the theme of our singing this morning, it was all about calling on Jesus, the Master, the Savior. And she said, I know this is wrong. I'm breaking the law. I'm breaking the Jewish commandment. But she says, I'm desperate. I got to get to Jesus. Because she said in her heart, or maybe out loud, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch his clothes, maybe I could stay anonymous. Nobody will know. I'll just sneak in there with the crowd. Nobody will know who I am, and I'm going to touch his garment, and I can be healed. She just knew in her heart that she's got to get to Jesus. She saw the commotion going on with Jairus. She must have heard why he was going. So she thought, there's got to be something to this man because everybody is just strong in him, just pressing around him, just wanting to be near Jesus. Everybody is crowding him. He can barely walk. So now she thinks to herself, if I can just overcome these voices and I can get to Jesus, I will be made whole. And I'm telling you that today. Your life may be at the bottom. Your life may be the worst it's ever been. I know I've been on valleys, I've been on peaks. It's easy to say when you're on the top of the mountain, oh, how great and how good God is. Isn't he wonderful? I love him and his blessings on me. But when you're grieving, when you're hurting, when you feel all alone in a crowd, Jesus is still there. You might not know why. You might not understand why you're going through this. But I can tell you this, through experience, that it's better to go through your trials and tribulations with Jesus than without. Because I'm telling you right now, trials and tribulations will do one of two things. It'll drive you away from Jesus, or it'll drive you to Jesus. You will hopefully want to cling to him, even in during the worst of times. And sometimes I think, even when I preach these things, that God may test me soon in the future. So you'll have to look at me when my time comes. But I know there's people here who need healing desperately. And I know God is able. Scripture says he can do above and beyond what I can ask or think. And so this woman had made up her mind. She overcame those voices. Your voices in your head will try to keep you back from coming to the altar, from surrendering to the Lord. She wanted to remain anonymous. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I know preachers are sincere, okay? I'm not condemning. But when I hear, everybody bow your heads, everybody close your eyes. If there's one sinner who wants to repent, raise your hand. You're remaining anonymous. Yes, I believe you can be saved that way, but you're also remaining anonymous. Jesus said, I think I wrote it down. I didn't put it on the scriptures up there. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also to my Father which art in heaven. If you confess the Lord Jesus, he will confess you before the Father. In other words, it takes a public proclamation that you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this woman now. We're back to her situation. She finally makes up her mind. She overcomes those voices and she says, I'm going to touch Jesus. I'm going to touch his clothes. In one of the Gospels, it says she only wanted to touch the hem, which makes me think she might have been crawling. I don't know. But somehow she was sneaking in there just so she could touch the hem of his garment. And she does. She breaks the law, breaks all the rules, and she reaches Jesus. Immediately, it says, straightway, she was healed of her plague. But the scripture also goes on to say, and immediately or straightway, Jesus felt virtue go out of him. Virtue, that's the healing power. Oh my, what did that feel like? Praise the Lord for his healing power, his saving power. He can do all this. I don't know. My mind, you know, I'm a curious George. Did it feel like electricity running through? I don't know. What was that virtue feeling like when it left his body? I don't know. But I would love to know what that felt like for him. But he felt it immediately when she did. In fact, he turned around. That'd be like me standing in the middle and all of you guys are just crowded around me and somebody touched me somewhere on the back, not my physical back, but on my clothing. And immediately he turns around and he's looking, who touched me? And the disciples, and maybe some of the other people, not mocking really, but basically were incredulous. They were saying, Lord, you see all these people around you? Why do you say, who's touching you? Because everybody was bumping up against everybody. I'll tell you, sometimes that could be an uncomfortable feeling. When I flew international and I flew back into Miami airport, we had about three or four, I'm not sure how many, large, if any of you have flown, there's some very large, there's like three or four or five seats in the middle and then three on each side, so that's like anywhere from 7 to 8 to 10 seats on a long jet. We all landed at the same time. And guess what? We're all going through customs at the same time. And if you want to feel like what it's like to be thronged, go to customs. Man, oh man. People were yelling at us. In fact, I thought they were a bit rude, but who knows, if that was your daily job, I don't know if I would be amenable or not. It's hard to be kind when you're dealing with people who don't know where to go. And so the first thing I had to do is I had to go to a kiosk. That's the new thing. You go to a kiosk with your passport, you put your passport up there, answer a few questions, it spits out a ticket. When you get a ticket, sometimes it has certain markings on it. And as you're going, okay, so everybody's doing this as fast as they can. So now as you're going with your little ticket, your slip, you're showing it to the TSA agent. And the TSA agent, I felt sorry for, really. I really did. You go that way. You get in that row. You go over here. You. I mean, it's like spreading us all around. You know what she did? Put us in the wrong lines. And everybody, there was like five people behind me. I don't think we're in the right line. And I'm like, I'm looking at my ticket. And I'm beginning to question. I don't know. There's those voices in your head. I don't know if I'm in the right line. So anyway, we get up to a certain point, almost ready to go through the actual check, where they check your bags, check you, and all the other stuff. Oh, a TSA agent happens to walk up. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, I said, am I in the right line? I showed her my ticket. Boy, you'd think I got dressed down right there. Sir, you are in the wrong line. I said, okay, just tell me where I need to be and I'll go. And she you know those little cloth lines that guide you when you go at a restaurant or somewhere, they guide you this way and that way. Same thing at an airport. She opened up that cloth line. She said, you stand right here. I said, yes, ma'am. And I stood over there and I stood right there. This poor guy, young man, I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I'm not trying to cut. And I looked at the TSA agent. And I said, do you want me to go to the back of the line? No, you stand right here, is how she talked to me. I don't talk back to a TSA agent. If you want to go and get a real thorough search, I won't say the word, but if you want to go to get a real thorough search, you talk back to a TSA agent. They will definitely give you a thorough search. But no, I got in that line. And then all of a sudden, five others said, I think we need to be there too. And they did. So we were thronged. So this poor lady had to get through the press, the crowd of people, just so she could touch his clothes. And she did. So she tried to back out. Now she was healed. Wonderful, isn't it? But Jesus didn't want to leave it that way. No siree. You don't stay anonymous. See, she went to touch the hem of his garment and ended up touching him, the man, the Lord. Let's read this follow-up. I think it's verse 33. When Jesus kept asking who touched me, finally the woman under conviction says, but the woman fearing and trembling, why was she scared, folks? She broke the laws. She broke the rules. She's unclean and she touched Jesus. And in doing so, touched probably many of the crowd. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. See, you can't hide from him. He knows. He knows. But she confessed Jesus. And thankfully, here's what he said. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus did not let her remain anonymous. But guess what? She put her faith in touching his clothes. That's not a formula. He found her and he made sure he knew that she knew that it was her faith. Her faith is what made her whole. So today I ask you, if the singers would come and those who would help me to pray. Your faith is what will make you whole. I hope you have the courage today to overcome those voices that you might hear, to overcome those voices that are telling you right now, don't go to the altar. Don't go searching for Jesus. No, no, no. Maybe some other day. I'm telling you, today is your day. She may not have had another day. She had already suffered 12 years. So what was she going to do? She had to get to Jesus. And that's what I'm asking for you today. Heavenly Father, I open up this altar call and this service, Lord, to do your will with your word. Have your way, Lord, in every way, in every sense. I pray in the name of Jesus. Give the courage now for those who need to come forward to come. Those who need to have prayer for any need, come. For we ask in the name of the Lord and our Savior, our soon coming King. Amen.